Your speaker for this lesson is G.K. Wallace.
Mrs. Wallace and I make our home in Florida. It isn't the Garden of Eden, delightful climate, but we have every problem that the church at Corinth had. We even have the problems for which the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and which today is being galvanized into respectability. I'm glad God doesn't turn upon the gay crowd like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. And for such conduct, there is no excuse. It is one of the most heinous of all sins described in the Bible. And all the psychiatrists and head shrinkers on earth can't change the Word of God. There are some good people there. As you have here, they're struggling against the tide. The problems are great. But we don't expect to win the victory entirely here, and do not be dismayed, simply because the world's not stampeded for riot is no reason why we should change and go with the current. Let's remain faithful and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have your New Testament and will turn to the book of Mark, division 16, beginning with verse 14, we read this language. And afterwards he was manifested unto the 11, themselves as they sat at meat. Now Judas, one of the apostles, had betrayed him. There are just 11 of them here. And he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Even here, some of these apostles were wavering. Their faith was not strong. They didn't believe. He upbraided them because they believed not, them that had seen him after he was risen. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. And they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall nowise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. In this passage, we find the Lord talking to his apostles. He's encouraging them in their faith. He talks to them about their message. And he also suggests to them that there were certain powers that would accompany them that would show to the world that they were God's representative. An apostle occupied a peculiar and a distinct place. While the Lord was here upon this earth, he taught, but he didn't write a book. But he selected some apostles. These apostles and those whom they appointed prepared for us this revelation which we have to guide us from earth to heaven. In this program, the apostles had a distinct and peculiar position with powers that were different from the powers of others. For instance, in the book of Acts, division 1, he talks to his apostles and he told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And he said ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. He promised to baptize the apostles in the Holy Spirit. Young people, there are no verses that say that anybody but an apostle would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We hear people talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit today as if it were something That's offered to every man in the world. There are no passages that state that you may be baptized in the Holy Ghost. There are no passages that say or infer that you can receive the Holy Spirit in the sense that the apostles received it. The text that is so often used is the text of Acts 2:38, where Peter said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now that passage does say that you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Now you just get your text and look at it. Look at the verb receive. If you're not afraid to mark in your Bible, just underline the verb receive. And then tell me what the direct object of the verb receive is. The first lesson that you learn of language is that a verb can have only one direct object. And the direct object of the verb received is gift and not Holy Spirit. That you will receive a gift of, derived from, or given by the Holy Spirit. If you'll be baptized, the Holy Spirit will give to you a gift. It doesn't say that you'll receive the Holy Spirit. He who runs and reads and is out of the sixth grade can see that. Now, it is true that Jesus talked about his apostles and baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. But you don't baptize in the Holy Spirit in the sense you baptize in water. You have a baptistry here filled with water. When you put a man in it, he doesn't stay in it, does he? You take him down in the water and put him under, take him out. Is that what you mean by the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You got in and immediately got out. You never stay in the element into which you're baptized. So the use of the expression baptized in the Holy Spirit is not parallel in the sense of baptized with water. It is defined by the Lord so that we cannot misunderstand. I hear people talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I ask them what they mean, and they cannot explain it. They say, "I can feel it." But do you know that the Bible explains what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? And if we understood the Lord's explanation, then much of the mysticism would pass away. He told the apostles to wait for the promise. Now, what is the promise? In the last chapter of the book of Luke, he said to wait in Jerusalem until you be clothed with power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was a clothing with power. There was a measure of power that he was given to them. When the Bible speaks about Christ receiving the Spirit without measure, that's simply saying that he had power without limitations. He has all power, both in heaven and on earth. There's no limit to the power of the Savior. Now, he said, "I'm going to give to my apostles some power. It will be in such a measure that it will be thought of as an engulfing, overwhelming, or immersing in power." The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a measure of power. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have a measure of power. Now, there isn't any question about that measure of power. Jesus defined it. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And that power is the promise that I gave you. And that power is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is that power? I turn to the book of John, and I hear John describing about the power that they were to receive. These things have I spoken unto you to the apostles while abiding with you, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and will bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. The power was conferred upon the apostles was to be their teacher. Here's inspiration. He told them to take no thought of what they shall say. It shall be given you in that very hour. There is verbal inspiration with a vengeance. That they would be told in the very hour what to say, and they couldn't forget. Aren't you glad that all of the things that Jesus said the apostles couldn't forget? If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't need a Bible. You can write a Bible. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know by memory everything that Jesus ever said. That's the way that Jesus defined the power. He said the baptism of the Holy Spirit causes you to know by memory everything that Jesus ever said. Now, he didn't promise that to you. And isn't it a shame? That man will take a peculiar, distinct promise given to apostles only and make that promise to every boy and girl in the world. That's not all. I but turned the page. And I come to chapter 16, verse 13. Now, howbeit the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all truth. First, he'll be your teacher. Secondly, you remember, know by memory everything Jesus ever said. Thirdly, he'll guide you into all truth. There are no new revelations. Every truth that God wanted man to have was given to man when John laid down the pen of inspiration on the Isle of Patmos. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, that shall he declare, and he shall declare to you things to come. Now here's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. He's your guide. You know by memory everything that Jesus ever said. Paul didn't carry a New Testament around with him. He made the New Testament. Peter didn't carry a New Testament around with him like I have. He was making the New Testament. The Word of God was in the inspired man. The inspired man made an inspired book. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a clothing with power. No man has such power today. People talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit don't even know what it is. It's anew. No man would dare to claim it. Only an apostle. Now, it's true that Cornelius was given a gift of tongues that was identical with the tongues that the apostles received on Pentecost. But Cornelius didn't have all the powers of an apostle. He had to be taught. He didn't remember everything Jesus ever said. There are certain powers and prerogatives given to the apostles that were not given to Cornelius. And so Cornelius had a limited gift, not the full measure of gift. But you say that Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say in the same measure. He didn't say, I'll give the same measure of power to all flesh. He gave a measure of power to the apostles and lesser to those whom they appointed. Now, in this passage in the book of Mark, going back to this passage, he's talking to these apostles who were waiting for this promise. Some of them doubted. Now he said to them, you ought not to doubt. Now here's the message. You go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the message. Now, these signs shall accompany them that believe. Who? Not the baptized believer. If you'll notice here in verse 15, he spake to them. Verse 14, he upbraided them for their unbelief. That's plural. Gets into verse 16, he goes to the singular. Comes back to 17, he comes back to the plural. He said, these signs shall accompany them that believe. The signs of Mark 16 and 15 and 16 were signs of an apostle. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12, Paul talks about the signs of an apostle. Now, these signs shall accompany them that believe. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Jesus didn't say that you could take up a snake. He didn't say you could drink deadly poison. Over here in Tennessee not long ago, some well-meaning preachers drank strychnine and died. You can't question their sincerity. And when they had the funeral service, the casket was open and lying on the chest of one of the preachers. This passage, the New Testament opened at a mark at verse 16, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall no wise hurt them, but he was dead. Now, the tragedy of it is, Jesus didn't say you could drink poison. He didn't say you could pick up snakes. Now, these go together. You say, well, I can talk in tongues, but I can't drink poison. And I can't pick up snakes. You can't have one without the other. They go together. You can take the tongues. You can take the snakes. If you can't take the snakes, you can't have the tongues. If you can take the tongues, you can take the poison. If you can't take the poison, you can't have the snakes. They go together. You can't separate them. These are signs of an apostle. Now, the apostles had special power, and then they selected men to assist them upon whom they laid their hands. Any of you ever watched the television program called Gunsmoke? Shake or not. I see some of you do. In that program, Marshall Dillon is the marshal. Now, the marshal can deputize a man, but the deputy can't deputize. And Festus is the deputy. But Mr. Dillon is the marshal, and he appoints a deputy. The apostles were the marshals, and they selected some deputies. In Acts 8, when the people of Samaria had heard the gospel, even though they had been baptized, had received the gift of Acts 2:38, they had not received the Holy Spirit, and they had to send to Jerusalem for the marshals. And when Peter and John came down, they laid their hands on them. They deputized them. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he said, give me this power upon whom I lay my hands. Now, brethren, there are no marshals here. There are no apostles. And the only others among them that could perform these miracles were the deputies upon whom the apostles laid hands. And if no apostle ever laid his hands on you, you can't talk in tongues or pick up a snake. These are the signs of the apostles and their lieutenants. They went out everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Signs of the representative of God and of the revelation of God. Miracles were always for signs, and they were never intended to be permanent. Every age of the Bible, miracles were simply a sign. Look at Moses. When he went out into the wilderness and he saw the bush that burned and was not consumed, God said to him, I want you to go down and deliver my people from Egypt. He said, they will not believe me, and I can understand that. He said, what's that in thy hand? He said, a rod. He had a shepherd's crook, said, cast it on the ground. It became a snake. Said, put forth your hand, take it by the tail, and became a serpent. Now he said, put your hand in your bosom. And he did. Said, take it out and look at it. Little leper's white as snow. Said, put it back. And he did. Said, look at it. It's well. He said, if they don't believe the first sign, they'll believe the second. When Moses went down into Egypt and you get the signs that he performed, the great plagues of Egypt, they were not a part of his message. His message was, let my people go. The signs simply proved that God sent him. They had no other purpose. I can preach Moses without doing the signs of Moses. If you could do the signs of Moses, I wouldn't believe in Moses. If you could duplicate his signs, there would be no indication that he was a special selected, empowered ambassador. They had to be peculiar and distinctive to produce faith. Here are the marshals, and they're deputies. And in 1 Corinthians 14, when you read that great chapter about the use of tongues, those were people upon whom Paul had laid his hands. They were deputies, assisting until the revelation of God was complete. Signs were confirmatory, never intended to be permanent. That's the way it was with the life of Christ. When Christ began to teach, he began to perform miracles, and his miracles became less and less and less. Most of his miracles in the early part of his ministry, and the design of them is found in Matthew 9, when the man brought in born of four. He said to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the people mocked and said, who can forgive sins but God? And Jesus said, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. Did you know that every miracle that Jesus performed was to prove his divinity? That he had power to forgive sins. If you could duplicate the miracles of Christ, there'd be no way to prove his divinity. He didn't tell you you could duplicate them nor perform them. And for me, to try to make an apostle out of myself or a deputy is presumptuous and naive. The miracles of Christ to prove that he could forgive sins. But you say people are duplicating the miracles of Christ. Let's see if they are. You know, Jesus could talk to a tree. One day he told a tree to die, and it died. Jesus could talk to the wind. He was out in a boat in a storm. He just told the wind to be still, and it was. Are there preachers today that stopped the storms? When you had that tornado just a few years ago, did the preachers stop the storm? No, some of them lived through it and lost their houses. But they didn't stop the wind. Jesus could talk to the waves. He said, peace, be still. Men don't duplicate the miracles of Christ. He could multiply the bread. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed a multitude. He could talk to the dead.
He went out in the graveyard, a man been dead 4 days, and he just spoke to him and said, Lazarus, come forth, and he got up. And don't do the miracles of Christ. If you could do those things, I wouldn't believe in Christ. If you could duplicate the miracles of Moses, there'd be no proof of his special office. If you could do what Jesus did, then there'd be no proof of the deity of Christ. The signs of Mark 16 are not the signs of a baptized believer. He didn't tell you you could take up a snake or drink poison or talk in a tongue. He said, well, I heard people talking in a tongue. No, you didn't hear anybody talking in a tongue like they talked, because no apostle laid hands upon them. He didn't tell you you could talk in a tongue. 1 Corinthians 14 is the regulation of these deputies. They were told that they were not to be permanent, that they would cease. Now, the signs of the last part of the book of Mark is no part of the Great Commission. He didn't say go preach signs. He said preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, you gentlemen have been doubting me. If you believe, I'll confirm your message. I won't let you forget. You can guide to all truth. They went everywhere preaching the word, and the Lord working with them confirmed the word by the signs which followed. And John wrote, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe. Everywhere I go, I take the signs of Moses. I don't try to duplicate them. If I could, I think there's one I'd work on. The children of Israel didn't have but one pair of shoes. They wore them for 40 years. As high as shoes are, I'd work that one out. I don't try to duplicate the signs of Moses, but I take them with me. Everywhere I go, I have the signs of Jesus Christ. If I could duplicate them, then you wouldn't know me from Jesus. If I could duplicate the signs of the deputies, then you'd have no assurance that this is God's revelation. And all of this effort today to claim these supernatural powers is a means of Satan of repudiating the simple gospel of Christ. That's exactly what it is. The gospel is the message to be preached. Go preach it to every creature. Here is a full, complete revelation of God sealed and signed, and these signs are the seal of the revelation and the sign of God's representative. And when I stand up to preach, I speak in confidence that I'm speaking the full and perfect, complete will of God. And I ask people simply to believe it and to obey it. And all who do have all the evidence of the deity of Christ, of the office of the apostles, and those whom they selected to bring us the great revelation of God. And that's God's message to man. These signs are not a part of the Great Commission. They're the credentials of the evangelist. You see, Mr. Dillon with his badge, that represents his credentials. Just his badge. These signs were the badges of the apostles and their lieutenants. I'm not an apostle nor one of his lieutenants, but I preach a certified gospel. Ask people to believe it and obey it. You believe in Christ? If you'll repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized as he teaches here, He said, I'll save you from your sins. It doesn't mean that you're transferred to heaven immediately, but your past sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. And then God expects you to live a life that's clean and pure. And one day, he'll come to claim his own. And what a joy to be with him there.
Your speaker was G.K. Wallace.